I would like to do an informal poll. Who here believes that they are the most stressed person sitting in this room? Raise your hand. Okay, so. Let's do it. You know what? Let's try it this way. Who here on a scale of 0 to 100? No. Scale 1 to 10. 1 to 10. So 10 being I'm stressed out and I'm about to go postal on someone. To 1, which is I do yoga every night and I'm totally serene and everything's beautiful in my life. All right. So who is right now at a 1? Anyone who's at a 1? Daisy, she's very relaxed. She's very relaxed. Rich, you're kind of, well, who's a 2? Who's a 2? Yeah. You're a 2? Okay, good, good. 3? Okay. 4? All right. 5? Okay, about average stress. Okay. 6? And we're getting up. Okay, we got a couple. 7? Oh, so 7, okay. So 8? He's 7 and 8, okay, so 7.5, okay. 9? 10? Yeah, going post, yeah. So no one is at a 10. So let me see the 9s again. There's 3 of you that are at 9. Friday, you were at 15, so you've gone from a 15 down to a 9. Well, can I ask, because I'm going to try something that I've never done, but which is what we love to do here at Searchlight. I want to try something to see if, I want to see if Scripture is really true. I want to do what Scripture says we should do when it comes to anxiety and stress. And then we're going to see if it actually works. Because who knows, maybe this is a bunch of garbage and we really should stop reading it and following it. I highly doubt that's going to be the case. So the 3 that are stressed, would you mind talking to me about what's going on in your life? That you have, well, okay, so Anthony is a no-go. You'll come over afterwards and... When are the Patriots playing? Oh, they're playing right now. So when the Patriots game is over, then I'll get to hear from you. But then the Raiders will be playing then. So Raiders are atop of the AFC West, baby. So I don't. Yeah. So we're. Yeah. At least. Yeah. I was rooting for the Chargers. So okay, we'll talk later on. Would you care to share what's? Yeah. If you don't want to, I don't want to. No. Yeah. Yes. Uh-huh.
I'm
already stressed out right now just hearing that. Gotcha. Now, out of curiosity, is it just the concept that you're just busy? Or because I think that a lot of my stress, because I've thought about my stress, most of my stress comes when I'm driving. Have you realized how stupid people are when they drive? I have found this morning, this is no joke. So yeah, Jacob and I were driving, right? And we're on the 91, and 3 lanes over is a car. I hope it wasn't one of you guys. And anyway, and it starts moving over because it wants to get off at Imperial Highway. And it just starts moving over, and it's got its blinker on, and it's coming. And I'm kind of looking at it like, if this person keeps coming, they're going to be coming right into my truck, and then I'll sue them, and we'll be wealthy. And so they're coming, and it wasn't like, you know, you're supposed to signal, you turn into the lane, stop, then you turn into the lane. No, this was a slow cruise over. And also, and I just pulled back and they just went right off. It worked, I mean, but I get stressed out because I feel like people are like horrible drivers. It's getting, I don't understand. I heard this as a suggestion. I think we should have a referendum to vote on. I think that our license plates should be our cell phones. So when you cut in front of me, I get on the phone. Are you an idiot? Do you not know how to drive? Yes, you just cut me off and I hate your guts. It'd be a great witness. Yeah, people call me, hello, Searchlight Ministries. You're a terrible driver. Yes, I am. Thank you. Yeah. No, I tell you, I have. And St. Louis, Missouri drivers are even more stupid. Like, I didn't even know. New York is worse. Is it just me also that I'm getting older and I'm getting more annoyed at how people drive? Okay. All right. So now Jody came and shared a little bit. So I think I could share it. She had a lawyer. She works in a law office, and a lawyer decided to leave abruptly last December and is now poaching workers and clients from her law office. And so she showed up Friday and six people didn't show up. Clean their desk out on Thursdays. They haven't been filing the briefs and all their work. Yeah. And so could you imagine coming into work? Yeah. Yeah, Prozac and holy water. I think that might be a good way to, yeah, calm things down. Yeah. Yeah. We all have a ton of, there's tons of different types of stress. Like, I understand driving stress. I'm thankful that Jacob was telling me today, like, I'm a calm driver on Sundays because I'm usually like, there's not many people on the road, so you don't anger me as much, I think. And it's not important that I get there. But then there's also financial stress. Who here is stressed about their finances? Yeah, that's huge. That is a big thing. How about, and then people are stressed at work. How many are stressed out because of their jobs? Right? Yeah. You know what? We've always said that this world would be awesome if there wasn't any other people in it, right? The same thing with churches. I think churches would be fabulous if we didn't have to deal with other people. How about the youth? What are you stressed about? Maddie can stress you out. That is true. So why are you stressed out? What was that? College applications, does that not freak you? Yeah. College apps, yeah. That can be stressful. Like, where am I going to go? What am I going to do for the rest of my life? That's a pretty big decision. And you get to pay student loans for the rest of your life. And, yeah. Are you stressed? Does it feel like it's a crushing weight on you? Yeah, yeah. Who here is in real? Oh, yes. What are you stressed? Oh, clowns. It is funny that I think that for years we have been preparing for the zombie apocalypse. It's the clown apocalypse. I did hear Joshua shared this with me earlier, that if a group of clowns attacks, go for the juggler. Thank you. Come on. That was good. You know that was good. Thank you. The slow clap. Yeah. Yeah, Jim? Just so you can drive your car legally in the state of California. We have a lot of stress. I read reports. It's funny. I read two differing reports. Some say that we are less stressed out now than we've ever been. Yeah, it was from the National Enquirer. And, the Democratic Party, yeah. But most reports say that we're stressed out. Okay, here's a theological question. Is being stressed out and anxious a sin? Don't answer that. Think about it for a moment. Is being stressed out and anxious? Now, and I think what's really helpful here is we've also got to determine where that stress and anxiousness comes from. The night before your wedding, are you going to be anxious? Is that it? Is it? Yeah, that's, I don't think we would qualify something like that as a sin. That's nerves, it's excitement. You know, I just did a wedding yesterday, and this guy who I don't think I've ever seen him cry ever, and like he's Mr. Rock, and I'm standing up there with him, and we've just started the wedding, and he turns around and is facing backwards, and I'm like, Joe, what's up? He's like, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I'm going to die right now. And I go, well, okay, that's good. You're stressed, but it's a good stress. You know, the night before maybe a big test, you might be a little bit anxious trying to remember stuff. The night before a big water polo game. I think that there's things that we would say are okay, like you're anxious, and it could be even a good anxiousness. But I'm talking about the stuff we just talked about. Is that stuff a sin? What would you say? Yeah, and I think we could probably make a distinction there of being in a perpetual state of anxiety. And this is what I've been doing all week, is I've been really trying to figure this out because of what Scripture says. And you talk about stress, everyone's like, ooh, I can relate. Even if you are, who are my ones? Who are my non-stressed out people? You have been at a 10 before. Yeah, so we all have been there. And so where does stress really come from? What's the root cause of it? Fear? Trust? Unbelief, right? And we can go into even just anger. Like, I get stressed when I drive because I think that other people are terrible drivers, but that's not, you know, unbelief or fear. That's just an inability to be patient with others. So we would say that impatience, translating anxiety, that would be a sin, right? Money issues, would money, stressed about money, would that be a sin? Yeah, if it becomes something that overwhelms you to the point that you lack the faith or the trust. And again, if you think that's bad, you know, I think it's just human nature. We've all been there. So anything that I say is a sin now is not, I'm not condemning you. I'm condemning myself as well. So, Jim? Sure, and I think that would be with anything. If anything draws you to Christ, if your anxiety draws you, how many people here, when you get stressed out, the first thing you do is go to God? Okay, sometimes, yeah. Yeah, I said all the time. So, how many of you, when you get stressed out, the last thing on your mind is going to God? Usually when things get stressed out, which is really bad for a pastor, right? If I get stressed out, shouldn't I be going to God first? When I'm anxious, shouldn't I be going to God first? And when we don't, if what's going on is not drawing us to Christ, then we can safely say that's a sin, right? So being in a perpetual state of anxiety, perpetual state of stress, stressing out about money, jobs, your future, right? We could safely say, I believe, it's a sin. We don't really talk that much about stress being a sin, do we? I mean, have you ever heard a sermon about stress being a sin? I know I haven't. I've never preached that because stress is so common. But when we look at the roots, that's when it's a fear or lack of trust in God, then all of a sudden things come into a sharper focus that maybe what I'm doing is wrong. Philippians 4, verse 2. This opening paragraph, before he gets into the topic of stress, he gets into the topic of church conflict. Is church conflict a stressor? To some people, like me, it can be, yeah. Paul writes, I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche. These are two females, two apparently very religious females. Two females that are big in the congregation there at Philippi. I plead with them to agree with each other in the Lord. So there was a disagreement. Maybe one of them became the head of the Christmas decorating committee, and the other one was like, I don't like the decorations you've chosen. Or maybe the carpet just got changed and they're fighting over what color it should be. Or maybe, you know, one wants the drums to be louder and the other one wants an organ to get back into the church service. There's lots of fights that happen in church, right? We don't know what this fight is, but Yodia and Syntyche are fighting. Verse 3, yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, the great, what, do you have a text note on loyal yoke fellow by any chance? Okay, yeah, so, which is correct. So what does it say? S-Y. Yeah, Zygus. Some people think that's maybe their name. So should we translate it as, hey, you know, Zygus, is he referring to a person? Or is he saying, hey, local pastor dude who's in charge? You know, we don't know. I personally think that it'd be kind of cool if it was a person. Like he's calling him out saying, hey, Zygus, you gotta come in here and provide peace. Yeah? Yeah, comrade, companion, yoke fellow sounds really weird. But the idea behind that is, hello, people that we're all on the same team, we should maybe stop fighting. I mean, if we are on the same team, is it true? Should we always be in conflict with one another? Now, I understand because we're humans and we're sinners, even inside churches, we're going to have conflict. But is church supposed to be known as a place of conflict? No. It's not supposed to be known as ever. It happens because we're all sinners. It happens because leaders make mistakes. It happens because lay people make mistakes. And when we focus only on those things, then we're going to have some major issues. So Yodia and Syntyche are fighting. He's asking either the pastor, the comrade, the friend, or this dude, Zygus, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. What he just said there was, look, we're on the same team. Syntyche and Yodia are good people, and they have great, wonderful dedications to God. We should stop fighting. We have the same purpose. I've heard it said, and I think it's true, that if you have a focus on the mission correctly, you will have fewer conflicts. I think if the mission is clear, we will fight over maybe what's the best way to accomplish that mission. But most importantly, we're going to realize we're on the same team. But when we start looking at the people around us as the enemies, now we're in trouble. And I promise you, I always try to do the best that I can. I am not your enemy. I may speak against you and maybe choices you're making, but I will always be on your side. I will always fight for you. I will always pray for you. And if you could do the same for me, that would be fantastic. And if you ever need a primer on conflict in the church, it's super simple. Matthew 18. Super easy. You got a problem with me? Go talk to Jody about it. No, I'm just kidding. Because that's what normally we do. If I have a problem with Ray, well, I'll just go talk to Jim about my problem with Ray. I got a problem with Bob. Well, I'll go talk to Melissa about my problem with Bob. That's the wrong way to do it. If I got a problem with Bob, I got a problem with Jody, Ray, Jim, I just simply approach them and I say, hey, we got to talk. And usually, almost always, 90% of the problems get solved right then and there. And I promise you, I will always be open to that. If you have a problem with me, just come to me and talk to me. I'll be happy to talk. I am not your enemy. I'm always your friend. I will always. So this was causing some sort of stress within the congregation. This was causing major conflict. And this is what then causes Paul to write, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again in case you missed it. Rejoice. Can you rejoice in the midst of conflict and stress? Is that possible? It is. There's going to be a blessing. Conflict and struggle always, gets you to somewhere, especially when we start focusing on all the right things. stress, you can rejoice at stress because you can eventually give it up. I was not joking when I sent out, I don't know how many of you read my email that I send out weekly, but on it was the caption, "Dear Stress, I think we need to break up now." You can break up with stress, and it's purely practical in what he's about to say. Verse 5, when you are stressed, when you are anxious, let your gentleness be evident to all. How hard is that? Is your first reaction when something goes wrong to speak kindly to other people? So Robert and I were going to Costco because I needed some new tires for my truck. We went there weeks ago, and they said, hey, if you go online and order these tires, and you do it online, you'll get an extra $60 off. If you don't know me, I'm cheap. I'm like, this sounds like a great idea. So I go home with the exact codes the dude has written out, and I go on, order 4, send them to the Savvy Ranch tire. Okay, get a phone call, your tires are in. Fabulous. I need to schedule an appointment. So we schedule an appointment, which was last Tuesday or something like last Monday. So I pull in, and they're like, can I help you? I'm like, I'm here, an appointment, we got tires. Well, what's the order number? I go, I don't really, was I supposed to have the order number? Yeah, you should. Well, do you have the email? I go, well, it's at my house. They're like, well, don't you have it on your phone? I said, this is no joke. I literally, the day previous, deleted all my trash because I had over 1,000 emails in my trash folder on my phone. I had to delete it. Like, well, it's going to take us a good 15 minutes to look it up because we don't even know. I'm like, you guys don't have a, like, okay, that's fine. That's cool. All right, we'll just wait. So he goes and he looks and he goes, okay, we found it. Great, yeah. He says, there's a problem. These are the wrong tires. I go, what do you mean they're the wrong tires? He goes, well, you've got 85 ply and that's not thick enough and you need to do a 115. I'm not a tire guy. I have no idea what he's talking. He's saying stuff. And he goes, if I put these tires on, the moment you put anything in the back of your car, your tires are going to pop. I'm like, well, and I go, well, what do you, I go, but this was the, he goes, who told you to buy these tires? I said, you did. Well, I don't know if it was that guy, but I said, you, well, these are the wrong tires. I'm like, well, what do we do now? Well, we got a special order, you another set of tires. Okay. How do we do that? Well, first we've got to return your tires. Okay, well, what do we need to do? Well, you've got to go inside of Costco and go to the returns and then come back here and we'll order you the other. So I'm like, there's no joke, you can ask Robert. I looked at him and I said, so you want me to walk into the returns, return those tires, and then come back out here to you to order tires? Yes. So we walk into the returns. Can I help you? Yes, we're here to return some tires. Do you have the paperwork? Do you have the what? Well, the paperwork. I said, no, you got a phone call from the tire. Like, you know, the tires are right around the corner. Like, they just, but they were supposed to give you the paperwork. I'm like, what paperwork? The paperwork to return the tire. I'm like, I have no idea. No, I don't have any paperwork. So we just kind of stood there. And finally, the lady is like, got a manager. And the manager physically walks over. Okay, we got the paperwork. How much was it? I go, I don't remember how much my tires were. I ordered them online like 3 weeks ago. So, well, I think these are it, so let's give her a return. Okay, great, sorry, return. And then now you got to buy the tires. So, and I think I have to go back to the tire thing. Yeah, go back. So go back to the tire thing. And I walk in, and it's no joke, they've changed shifts. There's some blonde dude that has no idea what he's doing. And he's like, can I help you? I'm like, I'm here to order some tires. I think there might be paperwork. Who are you? I'm like, the guy back there, see, he knows. Oh, well, he's putting on some tires on a car right now. He'll be with you in about a half an hour. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I'm waiting. He finally comes, and he says, okay, so now we'll order these tires. And so we go to order it, and I give him my credit card, and he says, I can't take that credit card. It wasn't the Costco thing. And I go, but this was the card I used to order online, but that was online. So Robert whips out his card because he's good for $1,000, and he swipes his card, and now he gets all the points on it. And so I say, so when are they going to come in? It will be like 4 or 5 business days. I said, well, can we go ahead and set up my appointment now so that when the tires come in, I can come in and just, we can do it. No, we have to wait for it to come in. And I go, well, why? Well, he says, well, there was a time a couple months ago when a car broke down that was delivering the tires and was delayed a couple days. So we've just made it a policy. We can't schedule an appointment until the tires come in. Yeah, are you stressed out? Yeah, it's weird me saying it because I don't know what was, I think the best part about it was I had Robert with me because I really did want to just slap him, but I thought, this might not look good in front of my father-in-law. I so badly wanted to speak unkindly. Have you ever gotten in those situations and you want to speak unkindly? The waitress brings you the wrong food, or there's a hair in it, or I love it, you know, there's a fly in my coffee, so they reach in and just grab the fly and throw it out. There you go, there's a, like, I hate you and I hate your, yeah. Can you let your gentleness come through during your times of stress? You're going to have to work on that. I think we all have to, because right now I know what you're asking, which is the same question I asked. How? How do we get there? Yeah, I think joking is a good thing, but I think there's also something that Paul is about to say in the scriptures that is going to maybe help us. Should we see what Paul? So how do we let our gentleness, when the people around us are driving like maniacs and cutting you off and you're getting terrible service at Costco? Verse 6, do not be anxious. Does that sound like a command? So when you are anxious and stressed, we would then have to conclude that would be a breaking of Scripture. Do not be anxious about anything. Oh, but Paul, you don't know the stress I'm going through. Was Paul under any amount of stress? I mean, when you sit around all day long, you shouldn't be stressed, right? I think Paul knew stress. So he himself is saying, do not be anxious about anything. Here we go. You ready for the answer? This is it. You're not going to like the answer. You probably could have guessed the answer. How do we let our gentleness be evident to all and not be stressed out? But in everything by, oh, man, no, not prayer. Anything but prayer. But by prayer and petition with, oh, Paul, no, not Thanksgiving. No. Dear Lord, thank you for these Costco people. Dear Lord, thank you for that person that just cut me off on the freeway. I pray for their soul. I will pray for that person's soul that cut me off. Like, dear Lord, give them half a brain so they can drive properly. But do I thank God for them? I personally don't. Should I? What would it sound like if I did? What would be a proper prayer? This is what I'm telling you. I want this to be intensely practical. This is not, because I know the sermon is so simple. Here's the sermon. When you're stressed, pray, right? I could have just said that right at thing and you'd be like, why didn't you just say that? We could have said amen and we could move on our merry way. Because we don't know how to put it into practice. How do we actually do it? How do we say to that person that just cut us off, how do we give thanks to God for them? And not in a, dear Lord, thank you for that person sucking oxygen, you know, and really mean it. What do we say? Dear Lord, you love that person. Yeah. Yeah, do you think that if you go, oh, God, just bless that person, God's like, I don't believe a word you said. But you might be able to say, Lord, thank you that I saw that. And thank you that we didn't get into an accident. And, Lord, I know that I have done that same maneuver and probably never even knew how many people I almost hit. Thank you, Lord, that I am safe. Please help me. Would that be an honest prayer? Would that be a good prayer? Would it actually work? I think it would. Yeah, it's always great when God comes in and intervenes. I just wish he would let me know that, hey, I'm doing this. Hey, Mark, you're going too fast. Slow down. Here's a horrible driver to help you with that process. right? I don't know, you know, I'm trying to think about this Costco thing. Like, what's the benefit of me driving on partially bald tires with my truck and have to wait a couple extra weeks? Do I drive slower? Maybe it's just to help me with patience? Maybe I should think ahead, plan properly so that my tires don't get bald. And yeah. I did still get the discount. Yeah. Just to let you know, yeah, we when it ordered it, I said I'd still get my $60 discount because we're not doing this online. He goes, I will waive installation on four tires, $15 a tire, so I'll waive the $60. So. No, they're going to waive that. So I think that this is something that, again, can be practical. When I'm stressed, pray. And how do I pray? I pray with prayers and petitions. Petitions are just simply requests. That one's easy. Dear Lord, I'm stressed about my job. I'm stressed about my kids. I'm stressed about my future. Help me. But then to also add in thanksgiving. This is where I think it gets a whole lot better. We present our request for God. And this is what the promise is. If you do that, the result will be the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Who here wants peace? Such an easy question. It's like, yes, I want it. How do I get it? There's the answer. It's not sexy. It's not earth-shattering. It's simple. Pray and thank God. So I want to do that. We're going to do that for Jody. I just want to see if it works. I want to know, is Scripture true? If Scripture is true, then we should be able to pray for Jody and pray for the situation with prayers and petitions and thanksgiving, and it is supposed to then provide her peace. Right, when we end up overstressing, who here has gotten good stuff if you've stressed a lot? Has that helped anyone? I think it sometimes gives us energy, but usually what happens is we end up having ulcers, right? Who here wants an ulcer? Okay. Who here wants peace? Peace? Who here wants ulcers? Okay, good. So we're on the same. So we're going to try this. I have no idea if this is going to work because I don't know if Scripture is true or not. So we're going to see if this works. We're going to pray for Jody, and then next week, we're going to see if this actually happens. Email me. Let's do it right now. Lord, we are testing Scripture. Great start. Lord, we would love to see how you work. So, Lord, I lift up Jody. And I pray for her stress. And I pray that you would provide her peace. We give you thanks that she has a job, for there's many that don't have a job. And we're thankful that she is gainfully employed. Lord, we thank you for all those people that are there because it gives us an opportunity to share your peace with them. And may it be like a shining beacon in that office that people see Jody and see that she is not stressed. And I pray that you would help validate this by providing her peace. Peace that passes all understanding, peace that is supernatural. And I pray that you would give to us your encouragement about your Scripture. It's true, it works. We thank you. in Jesus' name. Amen. So does this mean that it can work for other things? What I just did there, I am curious. I would love to test this out this week. Will you promise, will you covenant with me that you're going to pray about your stress? The answer is yes. Okay, yes, good. Because I want to see if this works. The other cool thing is, you may say, isn't it? So we just pray and we thank God and stress goes away. The best part is Paul, insanely practical, gives one more piece of advice. Do you want to hear it? It's just verse 8 and 9. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Don't talk about your stress. Break up with your stress. Don't say you're going to do it. Just do it. And watch what you put into your body. What you bring in is going to either add to or take away your stress, according to Scripture. If you are focused completely on anger and unholiness, you might end up having a lot of stress in your life. This is really tough because there's a balancing act, right? Heather and I, we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do, we turn on the news. It's usually we're just trying to find the weather. But so-and-so just got shots. What was that thing? There was an escaped convict on the loose, and we had a lockdown on Friday. I think I saw it on your Facebook. Yeah, there was helicopters flying over saying, stay in your house. There's a guy running around. Isn't this great? Yeah, it was in orange. All these things that are happening, we can get so sucked into it, we lose where our focus should be. If we start by saying, how can I bring good stuff in? Well, the answer, what is that good stuff? Whatever is lovely, true, righteous, holy. There's only one thing. That's Scripture, Jesus. It's filling yourself with that. If that is part, now again, I'm not saying, I don't think I could live without the news in terms of, I like to know what's going on, but I tell you, there are times that I have to, in the middle of watching this going, I can't watch this. I'm going to turn on Barney. There we go. I love you. Like, hey, this is great stuff. At least it's, that is a little stressful. But it helps me get off of that which is bad. And that's what Scripture is telling us. Lose the diet on that side, increase the diet on the good stuff, and the promise is what? And the peace, God of peace, will be with you. So if you're stressed, if you're freaking out about life, pray. While you are praying, you're giving thanks. And then, change. See, people are dying to get in here. I love this. Like, help me out. I'm stressed out. I'm locked out. And this will give you peace. You will receive peace. So we're going to try it. I'm going to pray. In the middle of it, I'm just going to leave about 30 seconds of silence. I think that should be enough for you, right? Because I don't want, it's going to be tough for me to pray for all your situation. We prayed for Jody, and that's awesome. Now I want you to pray for your stress. Do not sit there going, oh my gosh, when is this going to be ending? The Patriots are playing now and I just want to go home. No, I'm not saying you would do that, Anthony. Not at all. A lot of things will distract, but I want you to try it. Pray about what is stressing you. Give thanks to God for it. And thank God for his incredible love and see if that changes things. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would give us peace. Lord, we are all stressed out. Some of us are 8s and 9s and 10s. Thank you, Lord, for the couple of 1s that we've got that are not stressed out right now. But I pray that if there is something that is stressing us, maybe it is our job, maybe it is our money, maybe it is our future, maybe it is our kids, maybe it is our parents, maybe it is our employer, maybe it is that bully at school, maybe it is our self-image. Things are stressing us out. And I pray now, Lord, that you would hear the individual prayers of our hearts as we pray to you and see if you can bring us peace. We pray to you silently in our heart now. Forgive us, Lord, for stress taking over our lives. Forgive us for when we are anxious about everything. We come to you and lay that at your feet, humbly confessing and praying that you would bring peace into our lives. We thank you because we know it's all because of what Jesus has done for us. His death, his resurrection, his peace that he brought us between us and you, and the peace he brings us now for our lives. Give us peace this week, Lord. We beg, we ask, in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. I invite you to stand and receive God's blessings. May the Lord bless you and keep you.